Usually this time of a Tuesday afternoon, shareholder activist Stephen Mayne is sitting opposite me, usually wearing a suit, spouting about what's going on in the corporate world. He is unable to do that today because he's not well. Hello, Stephen.
Hi, Lindy. Snuggling under one of those winter blankets that Derek was just talking about.
You poor thing. You had soup?
Yeah, I had soup and just snuggled up under two doonas and coughing and splattering my way through the day.
And yet you're still managing to talk to me.
Well, sort of staggered out of bed, had a look at the market, said, oh, it's the same old stuff.
Do you know why I bother?
Andrew Twiggy Forest is worth another billion today. Financial stocks are crashing, resources are booming. I'm thinking, oh, same old, isn't it, really?
It kind of is. But that's all right. I mean, you want a bit of, well, I was going to call it stability, which we really don't have. But nothing really seems to change. But except if you're Twiggy, then you're smilingly just getting broader and broader.
Well, the milestone that he's chalked up today, I mean, the stock was up, Fortescue Metals was up $1.07 or 9% to $12.78. The milestone today is that the value of Fortescue has gone past the ANZ Bank today. So it's up $3 billion today to $35.8 billion. And the poor old, I think I'm going to blame Alan Kohler for this, but poor old ANZ went into a big spiral this afternoon. It fell 3.5%.
Why are you blaming Alan?
Well, Alan put out a report online about the mess that is Opus. It's getting Opus Prime. It's getting worse. It's quite an interesting sort of detailed report, basically, confirming a lot of people have been thinking about Opus Prime, that ANZ's really up to its neck in a mess. And ANZ shares have hit a four-year low today, and they've suffered the ignominy of the main chances from Fortescue suddenly being worth more than their venerable old bank.
Yeah, they'll be calling Alan and saying, you're never coming to a dinner party with us ever again.
Yeah, so it is interesting how the story of the Australian market until last August was that we were a financial success story. We had financials were 41% of our stock market, and a lot of people said, where are the resource stocks? We should have a resources sector, which should be a majority of our stock market. And just the turnaround has been phenomenal. And you know, the financials are down, like many of them are down 40%. And the overall component of the stock market has fallen to, I think it's below 30% now. And, you know, the likes of Babcock and Brown have gone from $34 to barely over $5. And they've slid again today on the market. So the financial engineers and anyone with too much debt is getting clobbered, and I actually would include in that poor old ABC Learning. I mean, jacking up the prices by 11%, and the share price has still been falling, and it fell 10% yesterday alone.
I just want to talk about Dick Pratt as well, just on what you think of the criminal charges that have come on top of the rather large fine that he got last year. What do you make of that?
Well, I sort of fell off my chair when that happened because, like everyone else, I thought it was done and dusted, and that Dick Pratt had done a deal that would have closed off all other legal avenues, and he paid his $36 million, handed back his gong, and got on with it. And for Graham Samuel to come out with this new charge of lying about the cartel, I thought was quite extraordinary. And the timing is remarkable. I mean, Graham is literally in the last few days, weeks of his term, and the Labor state treasurers and the federal government are all getting together and deciding whether to give Graham another five-year term as head of the ACCC. And I guess I'm not saying he's doing it because of this, but the irony of coming out and doing something which could throw the biggest donor to the Liberal Party in jail is something which is quite ironic. And you'd have to ask the question, if there hadn't been a change of government, would this have happened? Well, I mean, Graham would say, and a lot of people would say, of course not, and it's just doing it on its merits. But it is interesting that it's unprecedented in the way that no one of such high-profile stature has been hit like this.
But the fine was unprecedented, too, of its magnitude.
Sorry?
The fine, of course, was unprecedented, too, of the magnitude of the fine that he got last year.
Well, that's right. It was $36 million that, you know, I mean, it was the worst cartel we've ever seen. And at some level, a lot of people support it, the idea we didn't have laws that could jail people running cartels this time last year. The Rudd government's promised to introduce them, although we're still yet to see the specifics of the legislation. And so Dick Pratt couldn't be sent to jail for running a cartel, but he now can be potentially sent to jail for lying about the cartel that he's running. So Graham Samuel certainly has picked him out as someone to send a very big message to everyone else to. And at one level, he has been warning about this in the last three annual reports of the ACCC about you must tell the truth to the ACCC. So at that level, he's been consistent. But he's certainly picked on a very, very big fish in Melbourne. And it'll be fascinating to see what happens. Because the other point about this is that Dick Pratt, his confession last year effectively can't be used in evidence because that confession about the cartel was just related to that particular deal with the ACCC. So we might see the Amcor, former Amcor CEO and other executives on the stand because this time Dick Pratt said he's going to fight it. So
yeah, he has, vehemently.
It was a contested battle, yeah.
When, do you know when that's meant to start? Is that next year?
Well, there's a mention coming up early in July. And then I guess we'll probably see more the full action in court later this year.
Yes.
So I bet it would be bizarre, for instance, now to change the chairman of the ACCC, sort of mid-flight, particularly as Dick Pratt is like putting out press releases saying, you know, I'm blaming Graham Samuel's ACCC. So it's a very, very personal dispute between the two.
And just want to get a quick comment too, because apparently this the foreign investment that you've often talked about is just continuing to escalate here in Australia, and no one's really doing anything to stop that.
Well, today, BG Group, which is the old British Gas, has stuck $13.8 billion on the table in a hostile bid for Origin. Now, they tried to do a friendly takeover of Origin, which is the energy company, which owns big coal seam gas methane reserves in Queensland, which everyone's getting excited about. And Origin told them to get nicked, and they've come back and said, we'll go hostile. So a very aggressive $13.8 billion on the table. Second biggest foreign takeover ever after the Rinker deal last year, and coincides with the first ever Chinese government hostile takeover with the Sinosteel, a WA iron ore company, plus Macarthur Coal, our last biggest independent coal player. There's three big foreign companies all about to get into a takeover battle for that. So certainly our resources sector has a very high level of foreign ownership, and the money is pouring in like never before despite all the woes going on in the financial sector at the moment.
It's very strange. I bet they did say get nicked too. They used those very words.
Those palms would say get nicked, governor.
Thank you, Stephen. I think you're hallucinating. You've gone slightly mad.